You know, I can remember it like it was yesterday, the day I found out I was going bald. It's in my early 30s, so it was a year or two ago, and I was watching a video my father-in-law had shot of our Christmas holiday, okay, and he filmed it from the back of the room, and I'm watching, and he's panning across their living room, and I'm seeing all these heads, and I'm thinking, who is that, like, bald guy sitting next to Becky? You know, like, he's got, like, a baseball-sized bald spot growing on the back of his head. And then that guy turns around, and it's me, okay? Like, it's literally me and God's honest truth. In that moment, that was the first time I discovered that I was going bald. Like, I had no idea that for months, if not years, this bald spot had gone from, like, the size of a grape to a golf ball to a plum to a baseball, and now it's settled in sort of volleyball size. But nobody had told me. Like, my sweet wife was keeping it a secret. I hadn't figured it out washing my hair somehow, right? Like, bald spot was there. Well, friends, today I'm going to argue that just like me and some of the rest of you guys out here, we have bald spots in our lives, okay? And these bald spots are like a triple threat because they pop up in all three areas of that analogy we've been talking about. They pop up in our actions, the things we do. They pop up in our thought reels, the things that we think. And they pop up in our reactions, the way we respond to people. And what's scary about them is a lot of the times we have no idea they're there. Maybe a little scarier, we know they're there, but we pretend they're not, right? Put on that life toupee, you know, and pretend they don't exist. But here's the scariest thing, is everyone else knows they're there, okay? Everyone but you, everyone but me. I've been at Horizon now for about 10 years, goes quick, and this could have been any meeting from the last decade. Okay, I'm sitting in a meeting, we're brainstorming, we're collaborating, we're like moving the ball down the field, you know, and I share this idea that I'm passionate about. I've been thinking about it, been working on it, you know, and then it gets shot down or it gets swept under the rug. And everyone in the room, my guess, is thinking this. They're thinking, Ryan is gonna get defensive. I know it's coming. Let's just wait for it. There's going to be some humor to soften it. But then it's going to be mixed with some like biting, bitter sarcasm that's like mixed in there, you know, and they're waiting for it. And then it's like 3, 2, 1. And I'm like, bleh, and it just comes out all over the table. And they're like, there it is. Knew it was coming. That was kind of funny. Can't believe he said that out loud. But it's scary that everyone in the room knew what I was going to say. Besides me. That, my friends, is a bald spot. And I know we can't live our lives like worrying all the time about what people are thinking about us. Like, I get that. But if you have bald spots, these places in your life that everyone else sees, like, don't you think it behooves you to see them yourself? Maybe before somebody else sees them, right? Like, we want to see them. But the question is, well, how? Like, how do I see my bald spots if nobody's going to tell me, like even my wife, right? Like, how do I know they're there? What if, wouldn't this be amazing if there was this, like, I don't know, like ancient book of wisdom, okay? Like a book of wisdom that's been passed down from like generation to generation over the centuries, meticulously transcribed by letter. You know, it would be even better if it was like divinely inspired, like God sort of wrote it. Crazy, this is gonna blow your mind, but we have that. Like, that's the Bible. Like, that's literally what we look at every single week here at Horizon is the Bible. We have this book of wisdom from God, and one of the claims the Bible makes about itself is that it has the ability to help us see our bald spots. Check this out. Hebrews 4, it says, "For the word of God, the Bible, is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." That the Bible is making this claim about itself that it is a living mirror, that it's alive, okay? That it can pierce beneath the armor we wear to hide from other people like a scalpel, and it can cut down deep into our hearts and reveal to us not only our thoughts, but our intentions, the things that drive us that we may not even know about. That's the claim the Bible is making about itself. So today, as we explore this reel of honesty and our bald spots, we're going to look at four ways that the Bible can help us see our own bald spots, okay? And we're in this series called Real Thinking, which is based on a book in the Bible called Proverbs. And in Proverbs, often what happens is there's a juxtaposition between a wise person, a sage is the language we're using, and a jester, a fool. And Proverbs will go back and forth and say, a wise person does this and a fool does this. So that's kind of the morning being set up for you. We're going to jump in that the first way the Bible can help us see our bald spots is if I want to see my bald spots, I have to stop arguing with the mirror. Verse 6, a scoffer seeks wisdom and does not find it. What is a scoffer, right? Is that like a rapscallion, you know, like a word your great-grandfather would have used where he's like, don't be a scoffer. It sounds kind of antiquated, and I could throw up a Hebrew definition on the wall there for you and be like, well, in the third category of the subjunctive, you know, and sometimes we do that. We nerd out, and that's cool. But I don't even need to do that to explain scoffer to you. Okay, a scoffer is this. A scoffer is arms folded, smirk on my face. My head's a little sassily tilted to the side, right? Like a scoffer, they've got it all figured out. They've got all the answers before the question's even been asked. So if it seems like they're seeking wisdom in their life, that's just a pretense, because they know it all already. And here's what a scoffer does, okay? A scoffer, when they encounter something in the mirror of life, and maybe you know, they don't like so much, you know, and maybe that mirror is their wife or their husband. Maybe that mirror is their child, the coworker, their boss, whoever it is. They encounter that in the mirror. The mirror's broken, right? Like the problem is with the mirror. Like the problem can't be with me. I mean, I've gotten that same feedback 3 times this month at work, but broken mirrors, every one of them. Like a scoffer never learns. It makes me think of a quote from a guy named Dr. Henry Cloud. Dr. Henry Cloud is an author, written 40 books, sold over 20 million copies, a few more than me. He speaks at Fortune 500 companies, everything you would imagine you would want from an expert. And in a book called Necessary Endings about life's transition points, he has this quote. He says, when truth presents itself, the wise person, sage, sees the light, takes it in, and makes adjustments. But the fool tries to adjust the truth so he does not have to adjust to it. The fool, the jester, the scoffer looks in the mirror and says, not only are you broken, mirror, but have you ever been to a fun house, right, where the mirror is a little wonky, you know? Look at that. You look thinner, fatter, right? Like it changes. Well, the jester, the fool, tries to adjust the mirror, right? And like, honey, I know what you're saying, but when you look at it this way, really, this is your fault, right? And they play with the mirror, they adjust it. But friends, if we're going to see our bald spots, which I think we'd all agree we want to, we're going to have to stop arguing with the mirror. It makes us a fool, makes us blind. Well, what's the sage approach then, if that's the jester? A scoffer seeks wisdom, it does not find that. But knowledge is easy to him who understands. And sometimes the Bible puts things so simplistically that it sounds kind of like, no duh, right? Like, look at that. It's like, knowledge is easy to him who understands. Ryan, isn't that sort of like saying Spanish is easy to a Spaniard, right? Or swimming is easy to a fish, you know, like the. Sure, okay, and I would say slow your roll there, Jasper, okay, because understand here is a word that means discern. What would it look like when the mirrors of our life give us feedback that we don't love if instead of scoffing, whatever, they're crazy, that mirror is broken, what if instead we went with a, interesting, not sure I agree with it, not sure that feedback's fair, but can I be open to it? That's what's being presented here in the Bible if we want to see our bald spots. And that same idea makes me think of the well-told story of Steve Jobs. Okay, it's 1985. Steve Jobs is 9 years into founding Apple, co-founding it. At this point, he's 30 years old. The company is worth $2 billion. There's 4,000 employees. And as you know, Steve Jobs was a brash, brazen, strong personality guy, okay? And as he's leading that company in the way that he leads it, he begins to butt heads with the CEO, a guy named John Sculley. Okay, and Steve and John will just go at it, and they can't agree on the future. So Steve thinks, I'm the founder, I'm going to push this guy out. So he starts this underground campaign to get rid of John, okay? And he's trying to, like, rouse support, and to his utter shock and terror, what happens as it gets to the board is instead they hatch a plan to get rid of Steve. And they're going to take away all of his titles, anything that gave him authority or power, and give him like a little token title, which of course he laughs at and walks away from the company. And the two part ways. And for 12 years, Steve Jobs will go on what he calls his revenge tour, okay, where he's looking at the mirrors at Apple and he's saying, you're crazy. You people are all idiots. I'm the only smart one in the bunch. And he's going to go on to start a company called Next, which is another technology company. He's going to go on to start Pixar, okay, maybe you've heard of that. He does quite well for himself in those 12 years. But more importantly, one of the things that starts to happen with Steve, and trust me, he never goes from like a shark to a teddy bear, okay, he stayed a brazen guy. But one of the things that starts to happen is as he starts to get the same feedback from the mirrors at his new company, Next, and at his second company, Pixar, and he starts to get that same feedback from his wife and his family and his kids, he starts to go from the scoffer, these people are all idiots, and he starts to soften. He starts to, interesting. The board at Next is telling me the same things that the board at Apple told me. Curious. And as you listen to what Steve said and wrote later in life, he starts to explain that it really began to change the way that he led people, that he softened, he got more patient. And in a commencement speech, he will share this. He says, at the time I didn't know it, but it was awful tasting medicine. But I guess the patient needed it. That, friends, if we're willing to go from a scoff to some discernment, we can begin to see our bald spots. Hopefully it doesn't take us 12 years. Well, the second lesson here is if I want to see my bald spots, I need the help of trustworthy friends. You know, one of the things I love about life and faith is I think God made us to live in community with other people, right? Like obviously in families, but even outside of that, in friends, at work, in our neighborhood, that we need the voices of other people if we're going to see our bald spots. But here's the deal. The Bible's smart. The Bible says the kind of people you listen to, well, they matter. Okay, so this next verse warns us against some voices we should avoid. It says, go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. You know, one of my fears in 2026 is that there are so many voices vying for our attention, trying to get in. The latest estimate by the sage ChatGPT is that there are about 50 million people trying to be influencers in the world, okay? They are creating content and putting it out. And you know what it takes now to be an expert in any field? It's two things, a smartphone and a YouTube account, right? You can be an expert in anything. I can put out stuff on heart surgery if I want to, you know? Not even sure I can, like, diagram the heart. Yeah, I don't even know, but I could do that. That's all it takes. But the results are disastrous, and this is real, okay? In 2022, the FDA, a government agency of our country, put out a warning against sleepy chicken, okay? Any of you guys ever heard of sleepy chicken? I feel better that you haven't, actually, but experts were suggesting that, man, it would be really smart to start boiling your raw chicken in NyQuil, okay? It makes it tasty, tender, poisonous, you know, all the things you want in your chicken. And people started getting sick. And the FDA literally had to tell people, hey, don't do that. Don't boil your chicken in NyQuil, okay? Do you remember a few years before that, the Tide Pod Challenge? Right? I mean, who among us hasn't walked into your laundry room, looked up at that bucket of Tide Pods and thought, you know what? I wonder how long I could keep that in my mouth before it explodes. You know? I mean, who knows? I'm just going to try it. It's Friday. Let's get crazy. You take one, I put it in your mouth, and you're like, one, two, oh, no. Honey, call 911, right? And friends, I know you're like, Ryan, we are not making life decisions based on YouTube accounts and TikTok videos. Thank you very much. And that's one of the things I appreciate about most of you, okay? But I would say we're crazy if we don't think those voices are seeping in, okay? Through the way we consume media, the podcasts we listen to, the conversations we have, those 50 million voices are starting to seep in. Well, what if instead, I wonder, do you have any trusted voices of actual humans that you have given permission, you've invited into, staring in the mirror with you to help you see your bald spots? Like, hopefully spouses were pulling this off at some level, but I think we need more than that. I think we need some people that can look in the mirror with us and be like, hey, Ryan, don't think you see this bald spot right now, but in your parenting, this is coming up. I'm seeing it. I'm sensing it. What do you think? Do you have anybody like that? Whether you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60, 70, 80, 90, any 100-year-olds? Anybody? Yeah? No? Okay. One of the things I realized as I look back at my decades, and believe it or not, I'm 50, is that in my 20s, I had a bunch of people. It's like there's like 7 or 8 guys I could talk to if life's coming off the tracks, you know? And then you get married, you have kids, you got a mortgage, work's getting more demanding, so your 30s hit, and it's like, there's like 3 guys. Yeah, you know, 3 guys, and then, you know, all of that gets even more, it compounds even more, and my 40s hit, and I remember thinking, like, there's one guy. There's Kevin. And Kevin's my best friend, and we do meet and talk about life and stuff, but Kevin could get hit by a bus, right? And then I got nobody, as morbid as that sounds. And I realized a couple years ago, I was like, I want more Kevins in my life. I need a couple more guys that I can invite into this process of peering into the mirror and helping me see my bald spots. So I looked around Horizon, and I thought, hey, who are like 10 or 11 guys that I think are awesome, and they're not really connected to anything else? And I invited them to start hanging out, like twice a month. I was like, hey, dudes, you guys want to like, just trying to be cool, you guys want to like get together, we'll eat some like appetizers, talk about life, and you know, we read like a biography of Jesus from the Bible called John, where it's just like, you just get to know Jesus. And the whole sales pitch to them was like, let's become the kind of friends that help each other move heavy stuff, right? Because in your 50s, you don't help a whole lot of people move heavy stuff, right? They got to be really good friends. And over the last 3 years, we've started meeting. And sometimes it's very consistent. Sometimes it gets a little less consistent. But over the course of a year, we're getting together 12, 13, 14, 15 times, right? Like getting together and we're talking about life. We're looking at the Bible together. And we're growing our friendships. And one of those friendships is a guy named Thomas. Okay, so what's happened is out of the 10 or 11 of us in that group, each of us have found like one or two friends that we've just gone deeper with. And for me, one of those guys is a guy named Thomas. And Thomas Wagner lived in Terrace Park. And Thomas and I would get together, we'd go to Mango Tree, and we'd talk about life. And we each gave permission to one another to like, hey, let me ask you about this thing right now in my marriage. Let me ask you about this thought I'm having about my career. And it was this beautiful thing that developed, okay? And then a month ago, Thomas, like a big jerk, moved to Nashville, right? Like, who does that? He's working at Lipscomb, crushing it. And it dawned on me, though, the beauty of what had happened over those 3 years is we did Thomas's like going away dinner at Patron over there in Marymount, you know, say too much queso, and I'm driving away, and I'm like literally like kind of tearing up because I'm like, I'm gonna miss Thomas. You know, he's become a guy that helps me see my bald spots, and it dawned on me that I now have two Kevins. You know, I got a Kevin and I got a Thomas, at least, out of this group. And I wonder for you, like, do you have that? Here's the warning, is those kind of friends cannot be microwaved, okay? You can't invite somebody in and be like, hey, you, what's your name? Do you want to come look at my bald spots in the mirror tomorrow? You know, like, they're going to be a little weirded out. Those kind of relationships, you got to slow cook, okay? They take time to develop. The good news is that just like the best day to plant a tree was 30 years ago, and the second best day is today, hey, the best day to start a friendship like that was like 10 years ago, but the second best day is today. You could start that. Here at Horizon, we have tons of small groups. We got men's groups, women's groups. We got groups that meet in the morning, groups that meet in the evening, Sunday night, Thursday night, like, if you want to connect and grow those kind of friendships where you talk about life and faith, man, please talk to me. Talk to Drew, Chad, John Kirby, Kelly, Angela. There's a lot of people you could talk to that would help you. We'd love to help you get connected. You're going to need that if you want to see your bald spots. The third lesson is if I want to see my bald spots, I need to stop fooling myself. Proverbs 14:8. So take a little swig here. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. As the decades have played on in your life, are you starting to understand your way more? You're starting to figure out the like default setting of Orion, you know, where like you go in there and you hit the factory reset button and it's like, this is just kind of how I work, you know? And 200 years after this is written, it's interesting. This is Proverbs 14. 200 years later, in a Greek temple of Apollo, these words are written, which are a little more well-known maybe, but Nathi Sautin, know thyself. I like the fact the Bible came first, but do you know yourself? Like, are you starting to be able to put your finger on those bald spots and be like, oh, I see that now? For me, one of the many bald spots that I've figured out is like, I don't like conflict, okay? Like, anybody that knows me is like, you're right, you don't like conflict. I don't like it in my marriage. I'm tempted to avoid it. I'm tempted to avoid it in my parenting. I'm tempted to avoid it in my work, in my neighborhood. Like, if I'm out to eat, the server really has to screw up for me to say anything, okay? Like, I will sit there and eat the wrong soup as long as it's hot. Right? I'm like, I don't even like mock turtle, but she's really trying hard, you know? Like, I don't like it. And in my 30s, I started figuring that out. And you may say, well, Ryan, well, what's the benefit to knowing what one of your bald spots is? Well, it's this. Now that I know that that's my normal bent, that I'm going to want to wimp out and get out of conflict, in my job, I have to deal with it sometimes. And I've figured out that, like, when conflict comes up and I need to deal with it, I'm like, my default setting is going to be to run away from this. I know I can't do that. And it's like this little, like, cartoon, you know, where you got, like, the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other. Like, that's what plays out, where the devil's like, you don't need to deal with that. Nobody died. It's totally cool, you know? And then the angel's like, yeah, you need to deal with that. Like, that needs to be dealt with. And I'm like, no, I don't want to deal with that. I hate it. I hate conflict. And the devil's like, you're right. Just go to Chipotle. A burrito fixes everything, okay? It will solve itself, you know? And then the angel's like, nah, dude, you got to talk to him. And now that I know that's me, I know myself, I'm like, dang it. I pull out my phone. I'm like texting, trying to sound cool. Hey, bro, we need to get together. And I'm like, I don't even want to hit send. Because I know I'm going to have to talk about it. And I hit send, and it goes to him. I'm like, shoot. Oh, man. I hate it. But because I know I hate it, I've learned that I have to push myself towards it. The other thing it's helpful in is it informs. When you know what your bald spots are, it can inform your life choices. Okay, about 10 years ago, we were at a transition point where we had been on Young Life staff for 16 years, and we were leaving Young Life staff and looking around at all the possibilities. And one of the things I knew is I didn't love conflict. And some of the jobs I was looking at, as I got to know them more, it was like, do I want to be an executive director for that nonprofit? if I'm going to deal with conflict all day long, 5 days a week, right? Like, probably not too smart. Know thyself. What's the jester part of this knowing thyself? The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Friends, do you know who the easiest person in the world for you to fool is? It's not your spouse. It's not your four-year-old where you're like, here's a quarter behind your ear, Billy, right? Like, it's none of that. Like, it is you. Like, you are the easiest person for you to lie to in the whole world. Benjamin Franklin saw this and said it this way. He said, who has deceived thee so often as thyself? It's so easy to lie to ourselves. And there's so much science on it. I mean, I could throw up a whole lot of things, but there's like a confirmation bias. We're like, we are going to arrive at the conclusion we want to arrive at 9 out of 10 times, whether we want to or not, because it's just going to happen subconsciously. There's something called the illusion of explanatory depth. I mean, I could put all kinds of stuff up here to prove this point, but I only need to throw up one statistic. Okay, you ready for it? And you're all just going to be like, totally, okay, I really agree with you now, Ryan. You ready? Here it is. 93% of us rate ourselves as good drivers. Okay, that's a bold-faced lie, half of us, at least. At least 50% of us are lying through our teeth, okay? Because I'm running into way more than 7% of bad drivers among you all, okay? Driving around Anderson, Marymount, you know. And I'm a bad driver who denies it. Like, my wife has hit the air brakes on her side of the car so many times. I'm like driving, not paying attention. She's like, honey. I'm like, there's not a brake over there. But thank you for helping me avoid a wreck. That we are so tempted to lie to ourselves. Do we see it? That the mirrors of our life are giving us information, right? Like, hey, Ryan, like, you're being a little too angry. I'm not being angry. They kind of deserve that, right? Or, hey, you're being selfish. I'm not selfish. I gave a dollar to that guy banging on a drum outside of the Reds game. Come on. Like, I'm generous, man. Like, where in life are you being tempted right now to not only argue with the mirror or move the mirror, but lie to yourself about what the mirror might be revealing to you? If we want to see our bald spots, we got to stop fooling ourselves. And the last one here, save the best for last. If I want to see my bald spots, God is willing to help me. That we don't have to do it alone. Last verse here, verse 9. Fools mock at sin. Here's the dangerous thing when I use a playful analogy like bald spots, right? Is it kind of softens the topic of like the places where we sort of stink in life, right? And it's kind of like, oh yeah, bald spots, that's cute and funny. And some bald spots are kind of like cute and cuddly, right? Like, I'm really messy, okay? Anybody that knows me knows I'm messy. I can kind of laugh about that. Some would say messiness is a sign of genius, okay? Saw a YouTube video or a TikTok video on that. Like, our garage is a disaster. Like, you could release 7 kittens in our garage tonight, and tomorrow you're only gonna find 2, okay? Like, there's like a door to Narnia in there or something. I don't know. And I can kind of laugh about that. It's not a big deal. But here what God's telling us is like, hey, these bald spots, a lot of times they're pretty serious. And I know we don't love that word sin. It's a very religious, loaded word. But sin is just the standard God has set for life, the places where we miss that, that cause pain in our life, and more often pain in the lives of other people. And God's saying, hey, don't mock your bald spots that are sin, right? The temptation could be like, you know what, Ryan? Like, I'm just angry. I just yell at my kids all the time. You know, I kind of discovered that about myself a few years ago. Just learn to embrace it, you know? Sometimes I think they'll laugh about this someday, you know, in therapy as they're sobbing. Well, God's saying, hey, don't laugh at that stuff. Right? You don't want to mock your bald spots. But instead, he offers to help us grow through them. I want to invite the band to come on back out now as I'm finishing up. But among the upright, there is favor. And friends, here, upright is a word for straightforward, the people that tell the truth And God's saying, hey, if you're willing to humble yourself, look in the mirror of your life, and admit to him, hey, God, I'm struggling with anger right now, struggling with bitterness right now, struggling with fear right now. Like, would you help me? That he's saying he's willing to show us favor, to lift us up. And he takes it one more step. He's not only willing to do that, dare I say, he's willing to help us turn our bald spots into our strong spots. That one of the major themes of the Bible is that God loves to take weak things and make them strong. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. And friends, that's God's invitation today, is that he can help each of us turn our bald spots into our strong spots if we're willing to show the humility to look in the mirror and admit what we're seeing.